From WQCS Florida, you're listening to Pioneer Radio, a student-centered program bringing you the voices of Indian River State College from the campus to the community. On today's episode, Manushka Tulusma and Jerusa Toussaint discuss the perks of volunteering as well as undertaking leadership roles within Indian River State College's Helping Hands Committee. We will also hear from Carrie Dolcio, who explores the dark side of social media. Carrie ponders the fear of missing out and questions the constant need for validation.
For acceptance from those around us and from people to acknowledge our existence. I mean, without that connectedness and the intention we're always seeking, social isolation can creep into our lives.
And later, Giovanni Cassetti speaks with Dr. Kathleen Dudzinski and Dr. Kelly Caffrey about the Dolphin Communication Project and the importance of the scientific method. We'll hear those stories plus more in the next hour. I'm your host, Joe Phelps, and this is Pioneer Radio. Start us off, Matteo Cagliano talks with the Port St. Lucie Oxbow Eco Center and their forthcoming Earth Day Festival on April 29th.
With me today is Port St. Lucie Oxbow Center. My guests, volunteer coordinator Aaron Cartmill and Tessa Roberts.
First of all, thank you for having us. We're really excited to be here today. I'm Aaron Cartmill, and I am the Environmental Volunteer Coordinator for St. Lucie County's Environmental Resources Department, operating out of the Oxbow Eco Center, which is an environmental learning center here in Port St. Lucie.
And I'm Tessa Roberts, and I'm the Program Specialist with Environmental Resource Department of St. Lucie County, assisting also with Earth Day, and I guide nature hikes.
We are here to talk about the 13th annual Earth Day Festival at the Oxbow Center. What would you like to tell us about the Oxbow Center?
Yeah,
and kind of like a little information behind it?
Absolutely. Just to kind of give people some background, because it's surprising how many times people will come in to this beautiful nature center and they're just blown away, and they've lived here 20 years and they've never seen it before or heard of it. So as I mentioned, we are an environmental learning center. We offer all sorts of programming, from watershed hikes to programs about our local ecology, and we get school groups coming in a lot. We are located on the St. Lucie watershed, so we're on 225 acres, right on the North Fork of the St. Lucie River, which is pretty special. It's a very ecologically kind of significant area. And we have about 3 miles of hiking trails combined, and those traverse about 5 different ecosystems, actually. So it's a great way, a great place to start, either if you love to hike and, you go out a lot, or if you're new to it and just want to learn more about Florida. We have really well-defined trails and great guides and that sort of thing. But we are part of a bigger picture. We are sort of the Environmental Education and Community Outreach Division of St. Lucie County's Environmental Resources Department. So ERD acquires and manages lands to help preserve and protect wildlife and, help sustain our biodiversity here. And we've got a lot. St. Lucie County has a lot to be proud of for our natural preserves. And those are what Tessa's referring to. She does a lot of hikes, guided hikes on them.
Absolutely. We have a fantastic group of preserves here in St. Lucie County. And it's thanks to our taxpayers, of course, that actually we were able to acquire these lands. So they're out there for you to use and enjoy. So some people aren't as savvy to get out on their own. So we do offer a lot of guided hikes as well. There's actually 11 hikes coming up just in the month of April. So we have a lot of lead up excitement about Earth Day from ERD, as well as through all of our community partners and support organizations.
That's awesome. And what can we expect at this event, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, that's like a really big question, actually. But we're super, super excited about this year's Earth Day. Every year it seems to have grown and gotten bigger, and kind of really big news. We just confirmed yesterday that we have Ben Prestige will be playing our festival. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he's a really, really talented kind of blues and bluegrass musician. But, you know, this is an eco festival, right? This is an environmental-based festival to celebrate our natural resources, to celebrate sustainable choices and sustainable living. But it's so much more than that. It's really, is to involve the entire community. You know, our goal is to unite the community through the arts, through music, and through our local businesses and organizations that provide services and provide opportunities to our community. You know, it's not just a place to come and be entertained. It's an event to come and maybe see where you can volunteer or see what services are available to you. And we also have a lot of ways to get involved with Earth Day. As Tessa mentioned, we have kind of events leading up to Earth Day. It's sort of an Earth Day month. We actually got the mayor of Port St. Lucie and the mayor of Fort Pierce to do a proclamation. So it is Earth Month. And I know, you know, every day is Earth Day, but Earth Day month is actually something quite special.
And so with that in mind, we will have all this information on our website, www.oxboeco.com.
I just want to add one more thing that we're really lucky to have it that our partners. And so especially with the artistic exhibitors and the creative side of things, our Procession of the Species, we have the Bacchus Art Museum is going to be partnering. And throughout April on Saturdays, we'll be having kind of creative Earth Day workshops so that people can come and learn how to make a dragonfly, you know, or, you know, butterfly wings or something to that nature.
Not only are we working with Port St. Lucie, Fort Pierce, but St. Lucie County, this is our community's event. And so your group, your organization can be involved. We have a large number of exhibitor spaces. Those invitations are going out. But if you feel like you have an organization or a business that could be a great aspect of our event, please do contact us through the website or by phone.
Oxbow Eco Center is located at 5400 Northeast St. James Drive in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And again, you can check out all the details at oxboweco.com. And we also have the Facebook page.
The Facebook page is part of St. Lucie County. So that is St. Lucie Gov. And it's under their events page.
Mm-hmm. Please check that out. We're going to be updating that consistently with different ways that you can get involved. There'll be people showing the progression on their costumes and on our larger-than-life props and all that good stuff. So please check it out.
We want to invite our local folks, anybody that wants to come, bring their instrument, play, sing, enjoy. So bring your lawn chairs, bring your blankets, hang out. This is going to be something that you can stay for the day. The event runs from 10 to 3, but you're going to be able to enjoy yourself for several hours at once because we'll have music, we'll have food. There's several, I think about 5 food trucks that are coming. So this will be an all-inclusive festival style event. You guys will love it.
It's pretty awesome. Pretty cool to be a part of. So this is your chance. Our Earth Day Festival, April 29th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come be involved. Come get inspired.
Said, I wish I was a tree. The tree said, I wish I could be a different kind of tree. The cat wished that it was a bee. The turtle wished that it could fly really high into the sky, over rooftops, and then dive deep into the sea. And in the sea there is a fish that has a secret wish, a wish to be a big cactus with a pink flower on it. In the sea there is a fish that has a secret wish, a wish to be a big cactus with a pink flower on it. And the flower would be its offering of love to the desert, and the desert so dry and lonely that the critters all appreciate the effort. And the jackalope buddy, je peux les être pour voler dans la nuit et pour aller loin d'ici. Mais le Yeti a dit, je veux être un monstre marin pour pouvoir tomber dans la main de tous les requins. And the rattlesnake said, I wish I had hands so I could hug you like a man. And then the cactus said, but don't you understand? My skin is covered with sharp spikes that'll stab you like a thousand knives. A hug would be nice, but hug my flower with your eyes. So the flower said, I wish I was a tree. The tree said, I wish I could be a different kind of tree. The cat wished that it was a bee. The turtle wished that it could fly really high into the sky, over rooftops, and then dive deep into the sea. In the sea there is a fish that has a secret wish, a wish to be a big cactus with a pink flower on it. And in the sea there is a fish that has a secret wish to be a big cactus with a pink flower on it. And the flower would be its offering of love to the day.
From Indian River State College, you're listening to Pioneer Radio.
Hello, my name is Manushka Tulusma. Welcome to an interview with Jerusha Toussaint, a student from Indian River State College. She is the vice president of CCG, the Campus Coalition Government, as well as the head of the Helping Hands Committee. Today, we will be talking about the Helping Hands Committee. So, to begin with, Jerusha, tell us about the Helping Hands Committee and what do you guys do?
Helping Hands Committee is a committee that we all, as the CCGE board, we thought it would be a good way to implement something new, to give students the opportunity to volunteer. So with that, we branched out with Helping Hands. And the whole concept is to really get students involved in the community as well as on campus to show that you do things every single day and it could be volunteering. You may not even know it. So it was just a way to get students to go out into the community and volunteer.
So what is the mission, the main goal of the Helping Hands Committee?
It's to bring together friendships through volunteering. It's to meet new people and it's to see that, hey, you know, an hour a day or 3 hours a weekend is not a big deal. It's something that it's to change people's lives as well as change your own life.
So how students can be part of the committee?
Well, we have the CCG General Assembly where they can find out information. We also have River Life. So that's a really good outlook to see our meeting dates. We have our events on there, and we also have like small information, like a little bit about it and what our mission is as well.
So students can just go on River Life and they will see everything that you guys been doing?
Yes, they can see everything that we've been doing, as well as they can also contact me because I also have office hours at Student Affairs office. You'll see them. But they could contact me, and they could, you know, on some events, they could just reach out because my email is on River Life as well. So if they want to, they could contact me through email as well.
And they can also meet with you?
Yes, they can. Definitely.
Okay, sound good so far. Can any students be part of the committee, or what are the requirements for students to get involved?
The only requirement is that you're a student. Other than that, you are welcome to, you know, volunteer and show what you're made of and, you know, go out there.
When and where do you guys meet?
We meet every other week, Mondays and Tuesdays. So we met this week, main campus on Monday. So it's every other Monday and every other Tuesday. Every other Monday on main campus and every other Tuesday on Pruitt campus. But at the moment, I had a schedule change. So we're working on what we can do for Pruitt campus. So at the moment, the Pruitt campus meetings are canceled until further notice.
So what is it like to lead a community like this?
It's definitely challenging because you learn how to be a delegator, you learn how to be a leader, and you learn how to be the leader that you need to be. So it's not something that's easy. There's definitely roadblocks. And if it wasn't for like my fantastic team, like I wouldn't be able, there'd be times that I want to give up. I'd be like, no, I can't do it. And then like my co-chair, amazing Blessy, she'll be like, no, you got to keep going. You got to keep pushing, you know? So it's definitely an amazing position to be in. I love the position. And if it wasn't for my team, I wouldn't be here, you know, still pushing like I am today.
In what ways you see the committee improving?
I see it improving as in reaching out to more students and learning the ropes. That's one thing I've realized is if you don't know what you can and can't do, you may not be able to do anything. So the first thing I want to know is all the can'ts. So that way I know all the cans, you know, and then use the cans to our best advantage.
So as for right now, what are you guys working on?
Currently, we have ideas of making an event. It's still in the process, you know, ideas of coming out. But our next thing is actually we're going to Habitat for Humanity. We're going to be volunteering alongside Habitat for Humanity, and we're going to be painting in Fort Pierce. And we also have another event coming up in March, and we are going to be cleaning a road. It's Kirby Loop. It's right here. So that's another one that we're going to be doing for volunteering as well.
That sounds interesting. Why do you think students should get involved in the committee?
I know the first thing a lot of students would think is because it is a great way to build your resume, but it's also a great way to build your leadership skills. And it's also a great way to become a listener because when you're volunteering, the key thing is to listen. You're listening to what people's needs are. So you learn how to listen and you learn how to follow direction. So that's why I think it'd be a great opportunity for students, because not only do you learn to listen, not only do you learn how to work for free, you know, volunteer, mm-hmm. but you also learn what it means to be a part of a team that you've probably never met in your life, but you're still, you know, a part of a team and you're working with what you have.
What do you like most of being part of the committee?
I like my team. That's the best part of it for me, honestly. It's being a part of a team with people that actually have the same passion as you, and they see what you see, and if not, they see more than what you see. So, you know, I could see something at A and they could be like, no, you know, let's push it farther, let's go to B. Like, you know, they see more than what sometimes I don't see as much as them. But so it's definitely my team. Volunteering is actually, it's one of the best things as well, but it's the people that I have that are volunteering with me that makes it the most memorable.
So what are the goals for the future?
The goals for Helping Hands is to give students the opportunity to take on a positive leadership role that will coincide with their academic success.
From the previous activities that you have done, are there any memorable experiences that you would like to share?
It would be honestly finding friends. It would honestly be finding like genuine friends. It was, like I said, at first it was just an idea. And then it became something on paper. And now it's something that has a plan. And now it's something that's going to be in the community on Saturday. So it was just the most memorable for me would be seeing a plan come into action, as well as really finding friends. It makes it a lot more, it's smooth to be able to, you know, you talk to your friend and say, hey, I think you should do this, or hey, I don't think we should do this. It's just a lot more comforting to have a friend in the committee.
Yeah. We'll be singing when we're winning. We'll be singing.
He takes a cider drink, cider drink,
soda drink.
He sings a song that reminds him of a good time.
Thank you for listening to Pioneer Radio.
I subconsciously glanced at my phone, scrolling through endless photos and videos of other people's lives. One photo was of the sunset from across town where I used to live. I thought to myself that I had not seen a sunset like that in a long while and was glad to be outside. I returned to my phone, then glanced up to notice that the only light left around us was the LED emitting from our screens. An hour had passed, and the evening sky had painted twilight into dark night. My friend mumbled something inaudible, and I slumped my shoulders, turned back to my phone, not sure what we were doing or what would happen next. And now, Carrie Dulcio gives us existentialism in social media.
We've all heard of Tinkerbell, the stubborn and sassy fairy from the story Peter Pan. In most adaptions of the original tale, Tinkerbell drinks a poison to save Peter Pan's life. As her glowing light begins to dim, she tells him that the only way that she can be revived, to live again, is if children believe in her. This prompts Peter Pan to engage the audience and say, "If you believe, clap your hands. Don't let Tink die." As the audience applauds, Tinkerbell comes back to life and is rejuvenated. It is through other people believing in her, acknowledging that she exists, accepting her as real, that Tinkerbell lives. Sounds a bit silly, right? But it's a silly story that possesses some striking similarities with the ways in which we, as individuals in society, feed off of social media. It's the sort of feeding that can give us purpose in life, validate our existence, and impact our social isolation. Let's start by diving deeper into the existentialism of all of this. Existentialism can be summed up as a study of meaning in our existence, and the ways in which we embrace our individualistic selves in a world filled with billions of people. Now, according to the 2016 Global Web Index report, the average internet user has 7 social media accounts, of which he or she regularly uses 3.5 of them. Furthermore, the average user spends an hour and 49 minutes every day on these social media networks. Although this might not seem too significant, keep in mind that this has only been increasing over the years. Now, what can make us want to devote nearly 2 hours every day to browsing social media networks? I think it goes back to existentialism in a way. It's a basic human nature to want to find purpose in life, and what often gives us purpose are the people, places, and things around us. Social media helps link us to other people and keep us in the know with what's happening in the world. A new phrase that has been appearing recently encapsulates this feeling. It's the fear of missing out. We crave being involved and knowing what's going on. We'll spend nearly 2 hours a day and regularly use 3.5 social media accounts just so we aren't missing out on what's happening. That friend who we barely talk to is having a baby? We need to know. One of our distant relatives in Washington caught the flu? We need to know. It's these little things that make it seem like we're a part of a bigger picture. That maybe, just maybe, we're as much a part of their world as they are of ours. In addition to the fear of missing out, Jenny Davis, a writer for the Society Pages, introduces a related issue, the fear of being missed. She writes, "The anxiety surrounding disconnection, therefore, revolves not only around missing out on content and information, but also around potential exclusion from the conversation, and worse yet, exclusion from the collective purview altogether. Because of this deep unconscious feeling, we won't just take in update after update from other people. We'll also bombard them with updates of our own, from selfies of us hanging out with friends at the bar to status updates about how we're doing in school. And it also relates to another philosophical question, one that we've all heard before. If a tree falls in a forest and no one is around to hear it, does that tree make a sound? In other words, if we do something in real life and no one is around to see it, did we really do it? Sure, we can win an award in real life, but we still have the urge to post a picture and a description of it on social media. It isn't so much that we just want to brag, but the act of sharing it online further validates it. Eating the greatest burger in the world may fill you up physically, but posting on Facebook that you just ate the greatest burger in the world and have tons of people approve of that post, that can fill you up emotionally. If no one is around to hear the tree fall, or if no one knows that you ate the greatest burger, who else can say that it really happened? In either case, it just doesn't really have an impact on the world. Let's move on to social isolation. We strive for acceptance from those around us and from people to acknowledge our existence. I mean, without that connectedness and the intention we're always seeking, social isolation can creep into our lives, and this can, quite literally, hasten our death. In a study published in the Journal of Perspectives on Psychological Science, it was found that social isolation, through a lack of social connection, increased the risk of death by 29%. The simple act of living alone saw a 32% increase in likelihood of mortality. Even the subjective feeling of loneliness, despite being around crowds of people, increased our chances of death by 26%. So what does this tell us? Well, for one thing, it means that, in a manner of speaking, there's little light inside of us, much like Tinkerbell, that dies as we feel disconnected from the world. Technology can be said to have some negative effects on this issue. In today's world, social media and texting can limit our human-to-human in-person connection, and in some cases, replace it entirely. Many of us would rather read about your day on our phones than to hear about it over coffee. So keeping all of this in mind, I think it's clear that social media plays a major philosophical role in the ways in which we connect with each other. All of this is not to say that social media is inherently positive or negative. Rather, it is to take a look at how social media can influence the ways in which we see ourselves and the world around us. I think there's a little bit of Tinkerbell in all of us, because we all want people to believe in us. It keeps us going, and many of us satisfy this drive with social networks. As such, we can often rely on these outlets to feel connected every day. Simply put, most of us won't be giving up our social media accounts anytime soon. I imagine the feeling of stepping away from social media is a lot like how Peter Pan felt in Steven Spielberg's Hook when it was time for him to leave Neverland.
Don't leave us, Peter, and don't say goodbye.
What's goodbye?
It's going away. That's what it is. Forgetting about us all over again.
You're all my lost boys. I'll never forget you. Never.
To be a cowboy. I'm going to be a cowboy. I'm born to be a cowboy. I want to be a cowboy. A cowboy! We'll be right back.
You are listening to Pioneer Radio, Indian River State College's Radio Hour. Coming up next, we will hear from Edgar Rivera's talk with Ryan Carley and the Alpha Phi Sigma Criminal Justice Honors Society.
Hello, Ryan. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. My name is Edgar, and I'm here to interview you regarding the Sigma National Criminal Justice Honor Society.
Yeah, the title of the group is quite a mouthful. We are the Pi Beta Iota chapter of the Alpha Phi Sigma Criminal Justice Honor Society.
Can you start by telling us and the listeners a little bit about yourself? And
sure. I'm a 28-year-old student here. Yeah. I also work here part-time. I'm getting ready to graduate, actually, this semester. I'll have my bachelor's in criminal justice, and I'll be making my way off to law school.
Can you tell us something about what the club does during their meetings?
Yeah. What we are is we're like a coalition of all the different criminal justice students. We've got one police officers, we've got security guards, lawyers, and really what it is we we put ourselves out into the community. We want everyone to know that not only are we seeking like careers in criminal justice, but that we want to help the community as well.
Pretty good. You're saying you want to help the community. How would the community be helped? How does this transpire?
Well, actually, for Christmas, we put together a donation. We called it the Purse Project. We rounded up donations of different hygiene products and things like that to put in purses, and we brought them to different homeless shelters throughout the four counties. That way, kids had a present to give their mom on Christmas in a situation where they wouldn't usually. To show them that, you know, people in the criminal justice system, like, we care. You know, we're not just here to, you know, put you in jail and take you away from your family. We're here to help the community as well. We actually adopted the road outside of public safety. We'll be doing that as a road cleanup once a month. We have a beach cleanup actually coming up that the Honor Society is going to do. So we just like showing that, you know, we're donating our time back to the community as well that has helped us along so much.
You know, I was did a little bit of research here, just, you know, and I was able to come up with some, you know, there's two focus when it comes down to criminal justice. I believe there's the law enforcement section and the legal.
Yep.
Right. And then so where in IRSC, where do they both are active, or do we work on do students work on their for their schooling on their one or the other? Or
well, there's the police track that is for our officer training and for that kind of fun stuff. This program itself is for more bachelor students, so it is less for those that are going into the police force unless they're like furthering their education past there.
How does a person can join the club, or is it open just?
Well, we have a criminal justice club that is open for anyone that really has any kind of interest in criminal justice or is in the program. This Honor Society itself, you do have to be a bachelor's degree criminal justice student, and you also have to have a minimum of 3.2 GPA.
Okay.
So it is a little stricter than the criminal justice club, but we do, you know, we hold our members to a higher standard. You know, we expect them to be involved in the community, for them to keep their grades up. I mean, it's a good distinction to have heading into like a career in the criminal justice field. So we want to make sure that, you know, the people that we have in our group are the best of the best.
Good. And how, after graduate, let's say a student graduates, how much more, I mean, can they be in a club after graduation?
Oh, yeah, you're in for life. This is actually on a national level. So we're just one chapter. When you do sign up, you are a member for life. The benefits are rather large. There's a whole slew of scholarships that you can apply for being just in the program. There's a state board. There is a state chapter. You know what I mean? Like it gets higher up as you go. So even once you're done here at the school, you're still a member, and there's still benefits that go along with it.
Well, I'm sure there's a president, right, that runs the club, is there? Or?
Yep, we do. Our president, Josh Emelson, he's insane. He's got so many ideas, and we've got a lot. I got a really good group. It is our first time on this campus as a group, and I really have to say the people that are putting their all into it. Even our advisor, Professor Kimberly Masnick, she's another one. She's insane, but they just want to do so much and get our name out there because they really want to make a good impression. We're still kind of, like I said, we're still trying to find our footing, but we're making a pretty big splash.
Okay. And in the end, what do you think the benefit is for the school as a, you know, the benefit from the club?
Well, I think it puts a good picture out on the school when we're out in the community and, you know, we're adopting roads, we're doing beach cleanup. You know, we're really showing that not only are we here for an education, but we're here for the town that's helping support us. And I think anything that puts a positive face on Indian River State College and gets our name out there in a positive light, I think will always benefit the school.
Yeah, is something you want to add to the conversation that we missed? Are there any coming up events that we can talk about?
Sure. We actually we have a kickball tournament coming up that the Alpha Phi Sigma is going to be putting on. There will be, I'm not sure the exact count of how many teams, but we'll have teams of eight. You'll be able to sign up alone if you do not have a team. And it's going to be a big tournament, kind of get everybody on campus together. Some of the CCG groups get everybody together just to kind of get to know each other. And, you know, when you leave school, it's the connections that are going to help you in the long run. So the more people that you can get to know, I think the better off we'll all be. So that's going to be coming up right after spring break in March. Right around that same time, we'll have our new induction ceremony. We also have a beach cleanup planned, and we have a Habitat for Humanity build next Saturday that we'll be going to do. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. We're actually collecting, the soda can tabs, just that top part. We're collecting those for Ronald McDonald House because they actually cash those in and use them for funds. We're doing a coloring book and board game drive for Ronald McDonald House as well. So we've got a couple big things coming up, but we're still kind of hammering out some final details.
Wow. All right, Ryan, well, thank you very much. It was very informative.
Thank you guys for the opportunity.
I really appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
You're listening to Pioneer Radio. On the planet Earth, man had always assumed that he was more intelligent than dolphins, because he had achieved so much. The wheel, New York, wars, and so on. Whilst all the dolphins had ever done was muck about in the water, having a good time. But conversely, the dolphins had always believed that they were far more intelligent than man. For precisely the same reasons. The last ever dolphin message was misinterpreted as a surprisingly sophisticated attempt to do a double backwards somersault through a hoop whilst whistling the Star Spangled Banner. But in fact, the message was this: so long, and thanks for all the fish. And coming up next, we hear Giovanni Cassetti and his conversation with Dr. Kathleen Dzinski and Dr. Kelly Caffrey about the Dolphin Communication Project.
With me today is the director of Dolphin Communication Project, Dr. Kathleen Dzinski, and biology and psychology professor, Dr. Kelly Caffrey. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's get started off here. For Dr. Kathleen, I have a couple questions. Can you, in a couple sentences, describe what's the DCP?
The Dolphin Communication Project was founded in 2000, and we have a group of colleagues and students who work with us, and the focus is to promote science and dolphin science to foster conservation of cetaceans, whales and dolphins. DCP, the Dolphin Communication Project, was founded on two goals or primary focuses, which are collecting data on dolphins. Specifically, I focus on dolphin communication, behavior, acoustics, a little bit of cognition, which I collaborate with Kelly on, and to take those research results as the second goal and funnel them into education programs such that we can teach people of all ages. We do secondary programs all the way up to college programs and programs for the general public, but to teach them about dolphins and their ocean home and hopefully foster some environmental awareness and stewardship in the people who we teach.
The DCP offered an internship last spring. How's that going? Can you share anything that the internships are doing for you and the organization?
Well, DCP has offered internships since inception. So since 2000, we have internships that are semester-based, which are in the fall or spring semester, and we also have summer internship programs. And they are school-specific, so we actually are a partner program with Indian River State College, IRSC, and we have last spring in 2016, we had a service learning class where we had students participate in data processing. This spring, we also have an internship ongoing, and we have students collaborating with me to learn about data analysis techniques, to understand what is required when you analyze video or ID, and then to also learn how to read peer review literature. So three times during the semester, we assign them a primary piece of literature, scientific paper, that they have to read, and we work with them and teach them how to critique the paper and how to ask questions about that. So through the whole process, what we're trying to do is foster critical thinking.
Dr. Kelly Caffrey, can you explain or entail what the service learning class does?
Yes, absolutely. So the service learning class is that we did, it was actually the summer one semester. We had the students sign up for service learning, and it was a 3-credit course. And as part of their service learning, we taught them about research techniques. We taught them about dolphin anatomy. We taught them a little bit about dolphin behavior. What they focused on was analyzing data that Kathleen has collected in the field for identifying the dolphins. And there are certain things that we use to identify the dolphins. They have marks on them that they gain, and we use those as one of the techniques to identify them. And so that was part of what the students had to do. They had to do 40 hours of service and logging the different behaviors, and then also entering in the data. Identifying the dolphins. Behavioral analysis would come later for people that are more experienced with that. And then they also had to write a paper. So one of the things we worked on with them was scientific writing. And this spring semester with the interns, we've kind of revised it a little bit to ensure that they're applying scientific writing and doing it in a concise way. And also, we've added a couple more assignments to allow for them to grow in their understanding of how to write and to get feedback and critique, but, you know, not have it just be one paper that their entire grade is dependent on. So plus then we're engaging them in this discussion, which is often what you would see in a graduate class where you'd have to read a peer-reviewed article and then you'd discuss it and talk about any bias that was in the study. You talk about the methods and just debate about the conclusions that they came to as a result of their data collection.
Can you explain to us the importance of the scientific collection and the data collection that you guys entail?
Well, following the scientific method is something that's very important. To do a slight tangent, I believe that everyone is born a scientist because as children, you make observations about the world around you and you test those observations, you question those observations, and therefore you collect data about the world around you and you make assessments about the world around you. Those of us that become scientists just sort of take that a little bit further and make it more formal. And that's how we spend our lives, is making observations, asking questions, forming hypotheses, and then collecting data to address those hypotheses and questions. And so that's why critical thinking is so important. And that's why we want students to sort of pay attention to that. In this day and age, when everything is available on your smartphone through Google and you can just get things easily, it's very easy to become complacent and not question the world around you and just take everything that's given to you at face value. And so we really try to encourage students to question what they're seeing.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've actually seen as I've taught over the years, that students they have a lot of information, and how to process all that information that's at their fingertips and how to decipher what is a credible source and what is not. And oftentimes, just by looking at a website, it might look like a news report or it might look like a scientific study, and really it's not. And so part of the program is to actually get students to think critically and to engage in peer review evaluation. And in even with peer-reviewed articles, there still can be bias. And so we're asking them to look at it and evaluate it with a critical eye and ask questions and don't just accept something to be fact or true unless you actually do some background information and find out, is this a credible source, is this not, and how did they conduct the study, and was there a large sample size, and so all these kinds of things that we as scientists would look at when we were evaluating a study or when we're trying to put together a study and that we're conducting ourselves.
And a lot of that is very germane to their life today, especially in this day and age when you have alternative facts and various sources supplying those alternative facts in general life. So,
yeah, like you guys said, it's very important that you get your sources correct and you dig deeper into everything. And I'm pretty sure the DCP does that. Mm-hmm. And so does the Service Learning Center. We all do that as well, hopefully as individuals as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I just want to thank you guys for coming into the radio show.
Thank you.
Can we promote our we're going to be having an information session on April 12th at 4 p.m. And it's going to be in the R building in room 246. So an information session about our upcoming service learning class for the summer one semester. and that's in the Air Building, room 246 at 4 p.m. on April 12th.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Looks like you just earned the $20 million.
From Indian River State College, this is Pioneer Radio.
This is a song my dad taught me when I was a kid. That's a lie. This is a song I learned from some kids in the alley behind the theater. That's a lie, too. I learned this from Gregory Peck. That, too, is a lie. They're all lies. The whole song's a lie. No, it's not. I learned this from Pavarotti.
I'd like to take this time to thank you for listening to this edition of Pioneer Radio. This show is produced by Matteo Cagliano, Edgar Rivera, Giovanni Cassetti, Manushka Talusma, Carrie Dolcio, Yvonne Deem, Bill Piacesi, and Dr. Matthew Brooks. We'd like to thank those who help us put this show together: Dr. Bruce Fraser, Mia Tignor, Brian Lane, and Joe Leonardine. I'm Joe Phelps, and this was Pioneer Radio.
Soft and green, and it's memories that I'm stealing, but you're innocent when you dream.
What's it say?
Well, it says, I love it when a plan comes together.